Chapter 22. A Date with Rose Iranto. It was the moment Peter had been looking forward to for months. Finally, he and Rose were going out for dinner, and nothing stood in the way. Everything was working out just fine. After flying into Toronto, Peter's mum had picked him up and driven him to Granville. He'd spent the rest of the day packing boxes of crystal and chinaware, all the while keeping his eyes fixed on the clock. Now, as he pulled up in front of the Irantos in the old blue Mazda, Peter had only pleasant thoughts and eager anticipation. Christmas was only 3 days away, and the Irantos' home was well lit up with tiny lights that sparkled brilliantly in the darkness. The tall spruce trees on the front lawn glittered a beautiful blue, while the house was fully outlined with white. Rose met Peter at the door, already bundled up in a long black luxurious coat with a fur-trimmed collar. Dark glossy curls hung loosely around her glamorous face. Taking in the pleasurable sight from head to toe, Peter noticed that the high-heeled boots Rose was wearing were rather precarious for the slippery, snow-covered walk. Eagerly he took her arm to help her along. He was certain that he had never felt happier, at least not for many years. What a girl! What a date this was going to be! Somehow his parents' old car didn't seem quite right for either the occasion or her attire. How he wished he had his BMW! It took almost an hour to reach the restaurant where Rose had reserved a table for two, but she was never at a loss for words, not even for a moment. They discussed the strange weather out west. They discussed who the Irantos were having for dinner on Christmas Day and what colour her mother should paint the living room walls. Rose told Peter all about her Christmas shopping and asked for his opinion on some of the difficult choices she still had to make. He agreed it was very hard to buy presents for cousins that have everything they could want. Peter learned a lot about her rich relatives and how many cars they owned. Rose even carried on to tell him her plans for building a dream house one day. To his amazement, she'd already worked out the colour schemes. While they talked, the radio played softly in the background, and Rose turned it up whenever she heard a song that she liked. Peter soon discovered she liked the same kind of music that he did, only he wasn't enjoying that music as much as he used to. Songs he'd once revelled in now seemed rather shallow. Rose wanted to know all about Peter's life in Australia, and Peter soon found himself talking about his shiny black BMW Roadster with the convertible roof. He told her about surfing every Saturday morning and the unique two-story house that he and Jono had designed and shared. It was easy to see that Rose was impressed, even before he got around to mentioning all the heavy machinery that was an integral part of his landscaping company. However, Peter found himself feeling somewhat foolish. His former possessions and pastimes weren't so important to him as they had once been. Did he really want to impress a girl this way? "Have you been watching that new show, Pretty Little Liars?" Rose asked, changing the subject abruptly. "Everyone at work is talking about it. I just love it. It's the best show I've seen in years." Before Peter had the opportunity to answer, Rose exclaimed, "Oh, we're almost there. Just turn left at the lights." Peter was thankful that he didn't have to confess his ignorance about the show. In Australia, he would have known all the latest and greatest TV sitcoms, but since moving to the Simons, so much had changed. Pulling into the parking lot of a very fancy restaurant, Peter felt a momentary regret that he hadn't worn a suit. His brown sweater and beige cords seemed very out of place, but Rose didn't appear concerned, and she was the only one he wanted to impress. Walking into the grand foyer, Peter marvelled at the enormous glass chandeliers that hung down from the ceiling and the richly patterned carpet that lay upon the floor. A wide spiral staircase circled up to the second level. Two waiters stood by in handsome black tuxedos and trim white gloves. One kindly offered to take their coats, while the other stood ready to lead them to their table. When Rose took off her coat, Peter's mouth dropped open. The charming young lady he was escorting was wearing a tight black evening dress with a rather low neckline. She was quite a sight. "Wow, you look gorgeous," he blurted out. Rose smiled appreciatively and took his arm. Several heads turned as they followed the waiter to an elegant table tucked in the corner. It was easy to see that Rose enjoyed the attention. Peter felt proud to have such a beautiful girl hanging onto his arm. This was his date, and he intended to enjoy every minute. Only a second later, a surprising thought crossed his mind. "I'm glad I won't bump into the Simons here." Glancing sideways, he realised that with all the dazzling makeup and the skimpy black dress, Rose looked like a woman of very loose morals. He didn't think Craig and Beth would approve, but why should he care? Peter took the seat across from Rose, and the waiter handed them two menus. There were so many wonderful choices that it was difficult to decide what to order. Rose was eager to try anything exotic, and she talked Peter into a seafood platter for two. Peter liked fish well enough, but the more unusual delicacies had never appealed to him. While they waited for their food to arrive, Rose told him about several other exclusive restaurants she frequented. Peter was glad she didn't ask for his experiences. The local fish and chip shops on the beach had been good enough for him. Finally, the waiter arrived with a huge platter, artistically decorated with parsley and vegetable curls. Peter thanked him, and then suddenly considered whether or not he should give thanks to God. He had become accustomed to doing so for every meal at the Simons, but it seemed completely out of place with Rose. Never once had he mentioned his growing spirituality. How could he now suggest that they pray? Dismissing the small prick of conscience, Peter turned his attention to the platter between them. He wasn't sure what half the contents were. Rose soon picked up on his lack of experience and tried to explain what should be eaten and what should be left. In a joking manner, Peter pretended to be even more ignorant than he was. While they shared the platter and several good laughs, Peter discovered he wasn't particularly fond of squid, mussels, or octopus. He did his best to ingest a few slimy, rubbery morsels, swallowing them down with plenty of water, and then he left the rest to Rose. Thankfully, there were plenty of fries and shrimp. When they'd finished the main meal and were waiting for dessert, Peter inquired about Rose's job in the city. He was interested in knowing all about her, who she worked with, what she enjoyed doing, and anything else she might say. While she talked, he tried to listen intently. However, the skimpy little black dress, or rather the lack of it, was very distracting. It was hard for Peter to know where to look. He tried hard to focus on her eyes and what she was saying, but while their conversation was interesting, even humorous at times, Peter began to realize how much he'd changed since they'd last sat face to face. There was no doubt that Rose was the most beautiful woman he'd ever gone out with. He'd been well aware of that, even before she took off her coat. But he found himself hoping that they could relate on a different level. Surely he should mention that he'd started to read the Bible, or ask her whether or not she believed in God. Maybe he could even inquire if she cared about truth. But how? How could he start such an important discussion in a gentle, natural sort of way? "So what do you think, Peter?" she was asking. "Should I take the promotion or not?" "Promotion?" Peter echoed softly, realizing that he didn't even know what she'd been saying. "Well, what are the pros and cons?" Rose looked at him with astonishment in her lovely dark eyes. "That's just what I was telling you." "I'm sorry," Peter apologized sincerely. "I was thinking about something I wanted to ask you, and I guess I wasn't listening." "Oh, what did you want to ask?" she implored in a sultry voice. Peter hesitated. She was looking at him with far too much interest. To ask her now if she had ever read the Bible would seem rather dull. "I'll tell you later," he replied casually. "Now, about this promotion, I'd really like to hear more. What are the pros and cons again?" Rose launched into a full explanation, and Peter focused carefully on every detail. It was fairly complicated, involving a considerable wage increase and plenty of stimulating projects, but lots of overtime hours and a demanding boss. By the time they'd finished two delicious chocolate truffles and Peter had paid the hefty bill, he still hadn't helped Rose come to any conclusions. "Hey," he said suddenly, glancing down at his watch, "we'd better head over to the cinema or we might miss the show." It was only a short walk across the road to the cinema complex. Everything was brightly lit and lots of people were filing in through the large glass doors, so it was crowded inside. Since it was the last week before Christmas, many people were taking a break from a long day of shopping to watch a movie. One wall advertised all the shows. Peter looked to see what was available that Wednesday night. Of the three movies playing, only one had a family rating. The others promised lots of violence, immorality, and offensive language. A few months ago, Peter wouldn't have cared, but now a familiar verse came to mind. "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." "But it's just a dumb movie," he told himself. "There won't be anything that I haven't seen before, and anyway, I haven't fully committed myself to God." All the same, Peter felt obliged to suggest the Disney special, mentioning that he'd read the book when he was a kid and loved the story. Rose thought he was joking. "You pick what you like," he offered, hoping that would ease his mind. At least then he couldn't blame himself for making a poor choice. "I've heard this one's really good," Rose exclaimed, pointing to the poster with a couple silhouetted against a sunset beach. "All's fair. Everyone at work has seen it and they say it's amazing." So, All's Fair was the movie they chose, even though Peter cringed at the rating. The movie began with breathtaking scenery and the most incredible music. Peter was immediately drawn into the plot, and the star actress was almost as beautiful as Rose, lovely to watch. Snuggling up beside him, Rose began running her fingers through his hair. It had been a long time since Peter had been so close to such an attractive girl, and the intimacy was very pleasurable. He felt very sure that Rose was the girl he'd been looking for, and he put his arm round her shoulders. However, as the plot developed, Peter began to feel rather uncomfortable. "Why," he wondered, "do I feel so uneasy? I've seen plenty of movies like this. What's the big deal? How come I have this feeling that I should get out of here, right now, fast?" There was a battle going on in Peter's mind, the kind he used to know how to silence, but tonight he wasn't having the same sort of success. The movie had been accurately rated, and as the nudity and immorality increased, so did the pressure of his conscience. "Those who practice such things are deserving of death," he remembered, "and gazing at a woman lustfully is committing adultery in the mind." He wanted to forget those Bible passages for the evening and enjoy the date he was on, but they wouldn't leave him alone. "What should I do?" Peter reasoned with himself. "Should I get up and leave? Oh, I can't do that. Rose would be so embarrassed. And how would I ever explain it to her afterwards? She still has no idea that I'm even remotely religious. But how does God feel about this?" he found himself asking. "Would he want me to stand up against evil?" Peter squirmed uneasily. "Perhaps I can just close my eyes and block out these graphic scenes," he thought, trying to make a good compromise. For a while, Peter tried to do just that, but it didn't help. His imagination easily recreated everything he was hearing, and Rose was moving even closer. Peter felt like a coward as the movie finally came to an end and the credits began rolling across the screen. After all he had learned and read, he was still too weak to choose God's way. However, Rose was elated. Her dark eyes sparkled under the streetlights and she held tightly to his arm all the way to the car. She had thoroughly enjoyed the movie and that was all she wanted to talk about. Leaning against him as they drove off in the Mazda, Rose described her favourite scenes and how much she liked the music. She continued on expressively until after a while she noticed that Peter had hardly said a word in reply. Then she asked, "Didn't you enjoy it, Peter?" Peter knew he had to speak up. He couldn't keep blowing every opportunity. Very kindly he asked, "Rose, are you a Christian?" "Yes," she answered cautiously. "Good. So am I," he admitted freely, thankful that at last he could make it known. There was a pause in the conversation and then Peter continued awkwardly, "I'm rather new to this, actually. Being a Christian, I mean. Or I guess I should say I haven't been one for a long time, but well, I've got to admit I felt uncomfortable in that movie." Stopping for a red light, Peter looked over at Rose. For the first time that evening, there was a tentative look on her face and she didn't seem to know what to say. How deep did her convictions go? "I'm not sure it's right to watch other people, well, sin," he stammered, hoping Rose would agree. Rose laughed, and she had such a lovely silvery laugh. "You're joking," she said. "No, I'm quite serious," he protested. "Peter, it's only a movie. It's not for real." Now that Peter had begun, it was easier to continue. "But," he reasoned, "I don't think it's right to watch other people expose themselves. What went on in that movie should only go on in private, between people who are married." "Married or committed to each other," Rose added. "And neither of those conditions existed in that movie," he stated, thinking that he and Rose had plenty to discuss. "That girl was married to someone else." "Yeah, but her husband was a creep. She deserved better than that." "A creep? He wasn't that bad, and anyhow she married him. She made a promise. Everyone has the right to be happy, promise or not. And she jumped right into a full-blown relationship with the other guy without any promise at all." Rose let go of his arm and sat up straight in surprise. "But everyone does that. How else do you know if you're right for each other? There's no way I'd marry someone if I hadn't lived with him first." "Even if the Bible says it's wrong?" Peter asked. "Bible or no Bible?" Rose looked bewildered as though she could hardly believe such things would be in dispute. Then she added matter-of-factly, "In fact, I doubt I'll ever get married. It's too much hassle if you change your mind." Is that the extent of her loyalty? Peter wondered. Or could God's word impact her life the same way it has mine? Before Peter could ask another question, Rose was cautiously asking him, "How religious are you? I didn't realize." "No, I'm sorry," Peter tried to explain. "It's my fault. I should have said something earlier, but you see, I've only been looking into it for the last few months." "Well, I don't mind if people are religious," Rose answered hesitantly, "as long as they don't push their opinions on everyone else. Everyone has the right to believe what they want." She looked at Peter with a smile, cozying up to him once more. "So just don't get preachy," she cautioned in a teasing way. When they reached Granville late that night and Peter led Rose to her front door, his emotions were very complex. Rose invited him to come in and stay a while, and Peter was sorely tempted. But while he tried hard to justify such an opportunity, he also felt a strong urge to head quickly for home. This beautiful young woman was increasingly difficult to resist. So he declined, much to his own astonishment as well as hers. "But Peter," she protested with a smile, draping her arms around his neck, "it's only 11:30 and I have to work the rest of this week." "My mum and dad might be waiting up for me," Peter protested lamely, unable to think of any better excuse. "I'll give you a call tomorrow night and we'll plan another date." "There's a Christmas dance at my work this weekend that we could go to," she suggested quickly, "and my parents said you're welcome to spend Christmas Day with us." "Sounds great," Peter said apprehensively, waving goodbye as he headed back to his car. "We'll talk tomorrow." As Peter pulled away from the Irantos in the old blue car, he sighed heavily. "What am I doing? What do I want? Why am I leaving? Why did I go on this date?" He longed to stay, and yet he could hardly leave soon enough.